Is it okay to have full-fat dairy? Let's find out. Welcome to 9 Minutes to Better Health, a podcast series that breaks down real science for you to use in your daily life. G'day, I'm Dr. Nick Fuller. I'm an obesity expert from the University of Sydney and RPA Hospital. The truth about obesity is it's a multifaceted problem, and on 9 Minutes to Better Health, I arm you with the science that you can use every day to answer important questions. Each podcast, I will tackle the latest research on interesting health and wellness subjects. I'll chat about topics like what's safe to eat during pregnancy, which weight loss pills work best, and what's the best time of the day to exercise, which is a topic we tackled on the show last week, so make sure to go back and listen to my tips for the best exercise for weight loss. But back to today's chat. Is it okay to have full-fat dairy, or do you need to be sticking to skim or low-fat dairy? And is dairy going to make you fat? Dairy products are made from cow's milk. Cow's milk contains approximately 87% water, 4.6% lactose, which is carbohydrate, 4.2% fat, which are mostly saturated fatty acids, 3.4% protein, 0.8% minerals, for example calcium, and 0.1% vitamins. Dairy is also the best source of calcium in our diet, which is vital for good bone health and preventing brittle bones or osteoporosis. However, as just mentioned, it is a source of fat which is predominantly saturated, and consequently, it's one of the biggest contributors to saturated fat in our diet. In fact, it contributes to approximately 1/5 of total saturated fat intake, which is where the potential problem lies, because one of the biggest risk factors for heart disease is saturated fat intake, as it increases our bad cholesterol level, otherwise known as our LDL, or low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. Now, this is where the type of dairy comes into play and why skim and low-fat dairy is recommended by governing bodies. To explain the difference, these products have the fat skimmed off the top, so the saturated fat percentage is halved in the case of low-fat, so you end up with a product that has approximately 2% of fat, or completely removed in the case of skim or no-fat, so you end up with a product of less than 0.2% fat. The brief answer to today's topic, is it okay to have full-fat dairy? The research shows that those who include more dairy products in their diet have better heart health and lower body weight than those who don't include them. And it's not just limited to consumption of skim and low-fat dairy. Let's take a deep dive into the literature to find out why that's the case. The evidence on this topic includes two main types of studies: randomized controlled trials and prospective cohort studies. To refresh your memory, randomized controlled trials provide the strongest level of evidence. However, conducting RCTs or randomized controlled trials that are both large enough and long enough to determine the effect of outcomes like heart disease is largely prohibitive due to the disease's long development period. So most of the evidence comes from prospective studies, where large groups of people are followed up over time to assess their diet and development of disease. However, as I've discussed in previous podcasts, while prospective studies have the advantage of being able to examine large population groups over a long period of time and to assess impact of diet and lifestyle on long-term outcomes, they cannot determine if associations are due to cause and effect. There have been several large prospective studies looking at today's topic, including the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study and the Nurses Health Study, which I've discussed in previous episodes. Remember, these are very large studies conducted over decades and include hundreds of thousands of people. The majority of this research doesn't show any negative effect of consuming dairy products on our heart health. Some have even showed a lower risk of heart disease in higher dairy food consumers. However, many of these studies did not differentiate between the types of dairy products consumed, for example, milk, cheese, yogurt, or butter, or the amount of fat they contain, that is, whether they were skim, low-fat, or full-fat products. Which brings me to some further studies that did. And when you look at this research, the benefits appear to exist for milk, yogurt, and cheese, and there's potentially even greater benefit from sticking to skim or low-fat dairy. So what I'm saying is that even though the majority of studies show either a positive or at least no detrimental effect on heart health with dairy food consumption, regardless of whether it's full-fat or low-fat, there may be greater reductions in risk of heart disease or cardiovascular disease and stroke when consuming skim or low-fat dairy. So that answers the heart health side of things, but what about our waistlines? Which brings me to a large recent review published in Nutrition Reviews, a meta-analysis combining the results of 58 randomized controlled trials. Interestingly, the results from this analysis show that increased dairy intake was not associated with weight gain, and in some studies resulted in lower body weight and lower fat mass. But much like the prospective research I've just discussed, this analysis did not allow conclusions about the effects of the amount of fat in dairy products, as this type of study simply hasn't been done. That is, we don't have a head-to-head randomized controlled study examining full fat versus skim dairy on body weight. In summary, even though we should reduce our saturated fat consumption as it can increase our bad cholesterol level, not all saturated fatty acids are equal. What I mean by this is, when it comes to dairy, the types of saturated fat found in dairy seem to present a different effect on risk factors for heart disease, specifically no detrimental effect or even an improvement when compared to other food sources of saturated fat such as sausages and cakes. Hence, dairy products are recommended in dietary guidelines around the world to ensure adequate calcium intakes. For example, the Australian Heart Foundation recommends 2 to 4 serves of reduced fat milk, cheese and yogurt, or alternatives every day, with an example serve being a 200 gram tub of yogurt. But it does bring me to another point I want to discuss briefly. Even though the heart health benefits also extend to the consumption of cheese, the problem is how we include it in our daily eating habits, particularly in countries like Australia. Cheese is often one of those foods we cut up and snack on as we prepare the evening meal, only to devour an entire day's calorie intake in a 1 hour sitting. It's also something we tend to eat a lot of without noticing. For example, when you go to a dinner party or a get-together with friends, cheese is one of those things that's served before the meal, and you tend to graze on it as you chat. And this is why I say you should stick to milk and yogurt as your go-to dairy options, and keep cheese or snacking on cheese to just once per week. My take-home message. We still don't have a controlled trial telling us whether skim is better than full fat for our waistline. So until we do, you should stick to skim or no-fat dairy, and focus on milk and yogurt products and low-fat cottage cheese. Skim has the same nutrition, calcium and protein, as the full-fat variety with half the calories. You can buy no-fat and low-fat yogurt without added sugar, or you can opt for plain yogurt and add your own sweetness with fruit or honey. I'm fairly confident that when we finally get the results of a controlled trial putting full-fat and skim head-to-head, it will show that full-fat is not detrimental to our waistline. But as I've explained today, if you really prefer to stick with full-fat dairy, then this is fine too. Because what really matters is that you include dairy, or suitable dairy alternatives, and that you include 2 to 3 serves every day. For more help on suitable dairy alternatives to include in your diet, make sure to check out the show notes. That's all for today, so please give us a like and share with others if you're enjoying the content, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated. The information provided in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It does not substitute professional medical advice or consultations with healthcare professionals.